Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, we'll look at what our church considered on Good Friday. Next week, we'll look at what our church considered on Resurrection Sunday. Our reading today is Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. I'll read the passage, and then we'll cut to me with the children's talk. And so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll have the sermon. So let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the good news of Good Friday. We are so thankful that we finally made it to the gospel, where we discover how you have fixed our problem of our sin and your judgment. Please give us ears to hear. Give us joy as we think about these glorious truths, and give us faith to believe. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. And now, it's over to the children's talk.
Hi everyone, I'm here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
What do I have in this? Yes, Ellie?
Water.
That's right, water. I have water in this cup. Now, do you know, I don't really want this water in my cup. I wonder, do you think we could find something to soak it up? I have a couple of things here. I have a little football. Do you think this is going to soak up the water?
No.
Don't you? Let's give it a go. No, that's not working. It's not even fitting into the cup, is it?
No.
Can't even reach the water.
No.
That's not going to work. Let's see, what else do we have? What about this? What is this?
Scissors.
Let's see, will scissors work? It reaches the water. Did that soak up any water?
No.
No, it didn't soak up water. Got a little bit wet, but it didn't soak the water up. Is there anything that can soak up this water? What about this? What's this?
A towel.
A towel? A cloth? Do you reckon that might work? No. Is that going to soak up some water?
No.
Some. Yes.
Let's have a look. Let's put that in. There we go. Looks like ice cream. Let's let it soak for a while. Put it in. I think it might be working a bit. Let's have a look. Let's pull that out. Is there any water in that cup left?
No.
All the water is in the cloth.
Yeah. How did that get there?
Well, the cloth soaked it all up. And you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I am going to squeeze this cloth.
In the bowl.
Into the bowl and out comes the water. Guys, what day is it today?
Good Friday.
Good Friday, exactly right.
Friday.
What do we remember on Good Friday? Ellie?
I think when Jesus died upon the cross.
That's right, when Jesus died upon the cross. Now, Jesus dying on the cross is a very special moment, isn't it?
Yes.
Because do you know that when Jesus was on the cross, he was acting a bit like a cloth. A bit like a cloth. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't soaking up water. But it's as if when he was on the cross, he was soaking up sin. He was soaking up all the sin of everyone who would believe in him. It was all getting soaked up into him. And then, on the cross, it's as if Jesus was being squeezed. It's as if God was squeezing him instead of squeezing us. Jesus was experiencing the punishment for our sin so that we could have none left, so that we could be treated as though we are innocent. You know, this is the good news of Easter. This is the good news of Good Friday. That on the cross, Jesus soaked up our sin and he was squeezed by God so that we wouldn't have to be. So let's pray and let's thank God for Good Friday. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so kind that you sent Jesus, and that Jesus willingly went to the cross and soaked up our sin. We pray that we would trust in him. We pray that he would take our sin and that we would live for him always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Growing up in Geelong, I'd be at the beach regularly. Most of my memories of the beach are pleasant. I loved swimming in the waves. But one day I was in the water and was violently swamped by a wave. The water was powerful. It turned, twisted and flipped me. I was under for a long time. My lungs were burning, desperate for air. That's how I've felt for 4 weeks in Romans. Have you? We've been thrown around. Our sin pounded against us. Pronouncements of God's wrath and judgment flipped us upside down. We've been left helpless, hopeless. But finally, we come to the relief of chapter 3, verse 21. We take the gulp of air our burning lungs longed for. If you memorize anything of the Bible, memorize this. Martin Luther called verses 21 to 26 the chief point of the whole Bible. Leon Morris called it possibly the most important single paragraph ever written. Finally, after shoving our sin in our faces for so long, we come to the gospel. The good news of God saving us from his judgment. How can God save us from judgment while still being just? We might quickly say the cross, Good Friday. It's because Jesus hung on that cross and died that we're saved. And we'd be right. But how does it work? What does the cross achieve? Well, that's what this passage tells us. It gives 3 words to describe how God can save us. Those 3 words are justification, redemption, and propitiation. And it's these words which explain our main point. God justifies justly through Jesus. God justifies justly through Jesus. If we're going to understand what that means, we need to look at our first word, justification. Look at those first two words in our passage. But now. If you haven't been with us the last 4 weeks, you have no idea how good these words are. It's been said there are no more wonderful words in the whole of Scripture than just these two words, but now. Why? Because until now in Romans, we've been pounded with our sin and God's judgment. We're guilty. We're drowning. But then those words, but now. Now God's righteousness is revealed, verse 21. It's a righteousness that God gives, not by people obeying the law, but, verse 22, by trusting in Jesus. This is justification, the opposite of condemnation. Instead of the judge declaring you guilty, you're declared to be righteous. What does it mean to be declared righteous? It doesn't mean we act righteous. Paul will talk about godliness later in Romans. But it's our legal status. We were on trial, in the dock, trembling because we knew we were guilty. No defence, no extenuating circumstances. The waves of our sin overwhelmed us. We'd fallen short of the glory of God, verse 23. Shut out of his glorious presence. But now, we have a legal righteousness. But now, instead of condemnation, we have justification if we believe in Jesus. See the end of verse 26? He's the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Imagine a high school student in the principal's office, accused of bullying, of stealing, punching every day. He focuses on one kid, calling him names, threatening him. In come the students, one by one, telling their stories of how they've been mistreated by him. The teachers come in, explaining what they've seen and heard. There's screenshots from social media. There's even video that someone took in the classroom of his violence. He deserves to be condemned. Detention, suspension, even expulsion. But what if he was justified? See, justification is so much better than forgiveness, than the slate being wiped clean, than having the judge declare not guilty while you stand trembling before him. Colin Buchanan writes some great Christian kids' songs. He's got one song which I love called Big Words That End in Shun. In this song, he defines justification by singing, just like we never sinned. But it's more than that. It's not just being treated as though you'd never broken God's law. It's being treated as though you'd always done the right thing. It's being treated like Jesus deserved instead of how we deserve. This bully, if he was justified, wouldn't just walk out of there with no punishment. Justification would mean being given the principal's award. But doesn't that sound unjust? How can God justify us justly? That question starts to be answered in verse 24, where we see our second word, redemption. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, we need to ask what this word redemption means. It's one of those Bible words like justification that we're familiar with, but if we were asked, couldn't properly explain. But God writes to us so we'd understand. So we grow in our love and gratitude to him for all he's done for us. Here's how Colin Buchanan, in his Big Words That End in Shun, defines it. Redemption. Sinners bought by God. Justification was a law court image. There we were defendants, ready to be condemned. Redemption brings us into the marketplace. It says we were slaves, and through Jesus we've been purchased and set free. We were held captive by our sin. Not only were we being pushed under the water by our sin, but it's as if the water itself grabbed hold of our ankles, not letting us swim to the surface, not letting us take the breath we so desperately needed. We were drowning. Our guilt had pushed us down, and sin didn't let us escape. Sin deceives us. It promises fun, pleasure, freedom. It's why so many give in to pornography. Why children lie to their parents. Why we're so ready to hear a story about someone that we shouldn't hear. Why we're so ready to pass it on to others. It's with that false pleasure that sin traps us. Like bugs attracted to the sweet scent of the Venus flytrap, we become willing slaves to our evil desires. Redemption describes how God saved his people from Egypt. He didn't just save them, he redeemed them. They were slaves. No freedom, no hope, did what they were told, endured the heat and the back-breaking work, had their children murdered. And so they cried out to God. They longed for freedom. And God raised up a deliverer. And like every other story in the Bible, this points us to Jesus. Jesus, the greater Moses, rescuing his people from the greater slavery. Their physical slavery was a picture of our spiritual slavery, showing us the dreadful reality of our situation. But we're still left with the question, how is this possible? How is God able to justify us sinners, yet still be just? How can Jesus redeem us from our slavery to sin and bring us into freedom? How does it all work? That's where our third word comes in, propitiation. Look at verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Propitiation is a word that many Christians could go their whole lives without hearing. Because even though the concept is all through the Bible, the word only pops up a few times. And even then, only in some translations. Because it's such an unfamiliar word, the NIV says sacrifice of atonement instead. How does Colin define it? Propitiation, God's anger turned away. Since chapter 1, we've felt his hot anger breathing down our necks. We'd given up being able to escape from him because none of our good deeds, none of our Bible knowledge, nothing in us could turn this anger and coming judgment from us. But, verse 25, God gave him as a propitiation in his blood. This God, who was so angry with us, is the same God who sent Jesus. He's the one who took the initiative. He's the one who loved us, even while he was angry with us. And it's by Jesus' blood that he saved us and propitiated himself, turned his anger away from us. It was a Thursday like any other, in the year 33 AD. A sinner, consumed with shame and guilt at his sin, brought a lamb to the temple. And, like many others would do that day, and had done the previous day, and like countless Israelites had done for the past 2,000 years, he placed his hands on the head of the animal. They paused. Remembering the significance of this act. It was like a play. The lamb was taking the place of this sinner, as if all the guilt and shame was draining from the man and was being absorbed and soaked up by the animal. And then the priest slit the sheep's throat, draining its blood. He cut it into pieces and put them on the altar to be burned up. The sheep was killed in the place of the sinner so he could be forgiven. But this was a special Thursday in 33 AD, because that very night another sacrifice was taken. Not a lamb, but a man That night he was put on trial. Then he was taken to the Roman ruler. He was condemned, even though he was innocent, not just of the charges they brought, but of any sin. Over and over, he's declared to be innocent. But still, he made that trek with the Roman cross on his back. The innocent one, the perfectly righteous one. And then he was on the cross, and his lungs were burning. He couldn't breathe. Not because the waves of his sin were overwhelming him, but because all the sin of his people were swamping him. What the sheep the day before had illustrated was really happening in Jesus. On the cross, he was absorbing the sin of those who trust in him. And the sky grew dark, a symbol of the wrath of God. And this wrath, this terrifying anger, wasn't against us anymore, but it was against Jesus. Romans 3:25, God set forth Jesus as a propitiation by his blood. God justifies justly through Jesus. At the cross, our sin transferred to Jesus, and he propitiated God's anger, turning it away from us onto him. Jesus pays our debt. And Jesus gives us his own righteousness. That's how those with faith in Jesus can be justified justly, because at the cross, our sin was punished. And by faith, we receive Jesus' righteousness. So what do we do with this information? We have three theological words which explain what the cross did. How should this change us? First, we believe. We trust that this is true and that it worked. How does God save us? How does he give us righteousness? Through faith. Faith in Jesus. It's not by our works, not by church attendance or charity or baptism or confession to a priest. Jesus has done all the work. Righteousness of God comes not through obedience to the Bible, but by trusting in the one all the Bible has been pointing towards. Do you believe? Coming to church at Easter isn't enough for God. Being a nice person isn't enough. You'll only be saved if you believe in Jesus. Because you can't be good enough. You need his death to save you. Have you accepted the gift he's offering? Second, we rejoice. Because how could we not? On Good Friday, we should reflect on our sin, yes. But how can we stop there? Yes, our sin brought Jesus to the cross, and that is horrific. There has never been a moment in history more horrific than the creature killing the Creator. But it's through the cross that God shows his grace, his love for us, people he was angry with because of our sin. Third, we don't boast, verse 27. Not in baptism, not in our knowledge of the Bible, not in our spiritual gifts, not in the way we worship or the emotions we feel, because none of that justifies. Verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Nothing in what we are, or what we do, or how we feel is worthy of boasting in. Because nothing in us saved us. Only the grace of God shown in the cross of Jesus. Because it's by God sending Jesus that we who believe experience justification, redemption, and propitiation. God is just. He justifies justly because through the cross, Jesus took the punishment for our sin. He paid our debt. He bore God's wrath, and he gives us his righteousness. Finally, we can breathe. Finally, when we trust in Jesus, we're not under the water anymore. Our sin had left us hopeless. But because of Good Friday, we have hope. because God justifies justly through Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, this is the news we've been longing to hear. We've been overwhelmed these last few weeks thinking about our sin. We've been waiting for Paul to finally come to the good news to comfort us and explain how we can be saved. And we thank you that it's through faith, faith in Jesus who died for us. We thank you that by the cross he achieved for us justification, redemption, and propitiation. While these words aren't used often by us in normal life, may they be words of comfort and assurance to us as we think about what they mean. And I pray that everyone listening today would truly have faith in Jesus, that these words would be true of them, that they would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We would love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. If you're not a Christian, but you're curious to know more about Jesus and the Church and what Christians believe, then today at 4 p.m, we're hosting our last Grill a Christian for a while. I'll speak on the question, can I be good enough for God? And after that, you'll be free to ask questions in a relaxed environment. Grill a Christian starts at 4 p.m. at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, 75A Victoria Street. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram, or our website if you'd like. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.